About That Action on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by MyBookie.ag. Sports are back, and MyBookie is now offering a 100% deposit bonus when you use the promo code SGP. That's MyBookie.ag, promo code SGP, to play, win, and get paid. We're also brought to you by the leaders in daily fantasy, DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app now and use the promo code SGP to get a shot at millions of dollars in prizes every day this week. That's promo code SGP to get a shot at millions of dollars in prizes every day this week, only at DraftKings. We're also brought to you by Ace Per Head. Ace is the leader in paperhead providers, and they make it super easy to start your own sportsbook. Plus, Ace is offering up to 6 weeks free over at aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP.
Talk really.
I'm just about that action, boss.
Welcome everyone to About That Action on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I am Kyle Waddy Watnell, joined by my co-host and partner in picks, Mark Megatron Glass. How are you, Mark?
Pretty fired up, Kyle, not gonna lie. First time on the mic, first day in the studio. This is the real deal.
Episode one. Your voice sounds good on the mic.
Thank you, appreciate that. It's a pretty interesting concept. Got the headphones in, got the microphone going.
Right.
It's the first time I've actually heard my real voice.
This is what your voice sounds like to everyone else. You know, you don't really understand it until you put the headphones on and it's coming back at you real time. You know, it's not like a voicemail, right? It's a little bit different.
It's not distorted. This is like you said,
this is
real
it.
Thing. Yeah. I'm sorry to everyone. I had to listen to this.
Now you sound good. You've got a good broadcast voice, a little bit of a nasally flow to it. It sounds good. It sounds unique, which is important.
It's because I broke my nose in college and never fixed it.
Well, welcome to About That Action. We are excited to be here on our first episode, brand new show. Basically, what we're going to do today, we're going to give you a little bit of a background on Mark and I. We're going to dive into a little bit of sports news, and then we're going to move on to making some picks, because that's what it's all about on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. We're going to make some picks for UFC 252. So let's get right into it. I work on the PR agency side of the business, taking care of clients, helping them get media publicity and media revenue for their events. Mark, you want to dive in a little bit on what you do?
Yeah, I'm more on the personnel side, on the technical side of the sports. So working in an agency setting, so for a sports agency, I guess is the short term. Then also worked in the front office of a Major League Soccer team on the player personnel side, working with the coaching staff and all that. So I think between the two of us, we've probably got some good experiences to share and some unique insights on how you're going to make these picks.
For sure. And speaking of sports, NBA is back, MLB is back. They have their bubble in play with the NBA season. Seems to be working pretty well. 343 tests starting off August, zero cases reported so far. MLB, not working out as well. They've had a couple little outbreaks, including the Marlins had the biggest one with 18 players and three staff testing positive. Cardinals, seven players and six staff testing positive. Coming from a little bit of giving a little bit of insight into the event side of sports business, you got to have a bubble in this day and age. It seems to be the only way to make things work. You got to have a strict bubble, rigorous testing. MLB didn't do that, and that's why they're on a little bit of shaky legs right now. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, well, I was reading that. Well, originally the commissioner, Robert Manfred, who everyone fucking hates, but he was saying that he didn't even know if the season was going to finish because they couldn't control the outbreaks that started from the Marlins.
Of course it started in Florida.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Florida, dude. They ruin everything.
It makes sense, but you know who's been doing a good job with their testing and their bubbles is the UFC. They've got... They, you know, went to extreme measures with their Fight Island situation, which has been taking place over the last few weeks. But now they're back home in their home facility. They actually have a multi-million-dollar facility called the UFC Apex in Las Vegas, if you're not aware of it. And they're going to bring fights back to that, including the fights for UFC 252 coming up this weekend. Should be a good one. It's actually a smaller cage. I don't know if you read into that at all.
But, how much smaller are we talking?
Not a huge amount. About like five feet. square feet. I mean, I'm not a big math guy, but it's a little bit smaller.
It's an octagon, so everything's like 5 feet compressed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. And
you're not an expert in octagonal geometry.
No, I'm not, but it is. It has an impact for sure. I mean, I kind of like the little cage. It brings more action.
Yeah, like forces confrontation.
Exactly. They're closer together. The fight's coming up, UFC 252 this weekend, are in a smaller cage. Let's go ahead and dive into it if you're ready, Mark.
I was born ready.
We're going to dive into our picks for starting off with the UFC prelims coming up this weekend. First fight on the prelim card is TJ Brown versus Danny Chavez at featherweight. I see TJ Brown securing the win here. He's coming off a loss. It's a debut fight for Chavez in the UFC. He's 33 years old in his debut. I saw that as the biggest red flag for this one.
Yeah, that's an absurd age to make your debut. 33? Yeah. What's he been doing? I'm assuming he started fighting at probably like 14, 15 as an amateur, right? What's he been doing for the last 18 years?
He basically just hasn't made it to this, you know, this level. This is the highest level of fighting. And he didn't make it there. So now
what
he finally
doing?
Is.
Like, how does he put food on the table?
Yeah, I don't know if he has a day job or if he makes enough fighting for smaller promotions. I would imagine not. But yeah, he's making his debut. I think if it took you this long, you're probably not UFC caliber. So I'm expecting TJ Brown to get the win here.
I'll give you that. Reminds me of the movie The Rookie, Dennis Quaid.
Oh, the baseball movie.
Yeah, where he's like a dad. He's like in his 40s, and then he's like playing in like a Sunday league softball. He throws like 98 miles an hour.
I was going to say, and he throws like 100 miles an hour.
Yeah,
as
he
like
goes
a
to the bigs. He's just pumping out gas.
Yeah, so.
Maybe it could be the start of that. It could be the start of a fairy tale movie.
It could be. It could be. If this guy pulls it off, we'll talk about it on next week's show. But that movie's fiction, and so for that reason, we're going to pick TJ Brown. Second fight on the prelims. We've got Herbert Burns, brother of Gilbert Burns. He's a -255 favorite against Daniel Pineda, who's coming back up at +200 over at MyBookie at featherweight. This is a featherweight fight. I see this as a great spot for Burns here. He's on a 5-fight win streak. He's a submission specialist, but he can throw the hands as well. He's taller, he's younger, and another interesting head scratcher. Pineda's been out of the UFC for 6 years. He has been in the UFC before, but he's coming back after 6 years outside of the UFC. What are your thoughts on that?
That's just another one where I gotta turn to you, the expert.
Yeah.
Where the fuck this guy been?
It's a similar situation. I mean, he couldn't hold that high standard. It's very hard to stay in the UFC, obviously. I mean, it's the best of the best. He couldn't hang in there, got cut, and he spent 6 years
for six
elsewhere.
Years.
And now he's coming back. So I see this kind of as a strategic fight by the UFC to get Herbert Burns a good win here, keep moving him up the rankings, and they could have a kind of cool duo having the two Burns brothers, you know, up there in the rankings in the UFC. That could be a cool dynamic. So I think that's kind of what this fight is about. We're gonna take Burns -255. Third fight on the prelims: Felice Herrig, +245 underdog, taking on Verma Jandiroba, -305 favorite. This is a strawweight clash. The way I see this one, I see Herrig is coming off an ACL surgery and a bit of a long layoff. She hasn't fought since 2018. That's never something you want to see or want to get behind. But I'm actually a fan of hers. I don't know if Jandiroba has really proven herself against strong enough of an opponent yet. This is going to be an underdog play for me on the prelims at +245, a big underdog. But that's going to be my pick for this one. Mark, who are you going with?
It's funny, we both picked the same underdog.
You're going with her as well?
Yeah, but for totally different reasons.
Why are you going with her?
Chick's a rocket ship. Have you seen her?
Yeah, I've seen her, but that's not really why I place my bets.
She's hot in like a she's hot in like a she could kick my ass kind of way.
Right. So you're going to put your money on her as well?
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, she's like a
teach their own. Teach their own, Mark.
She's like 7-5. That's her record. I'm looking at.
Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah, that's not great. Undercard. Female UFC is not the most poppin' sport. She's still got 400,000 Instagram followers.
Yeah, I believe it.
If that's a sign of attractiveness.
Yeah, I believe it. I think we're gonna both play her here for fun. Why not?
Yeah, I'm picking her just in the off chance that she listens to this and thinks I'm getting behind her.
Gotcha. Next fight on the card: Chris Daukaus takes on Parker Porter. This should be a fun one. This is a heavyweight fight. This is a tough fight to call. Both guys are making their octagon debuts in the UFC. Both the guys have been fighting for other promotions. I'm going to take Porter because he's a little bit more experienced, and he's fought a couple times in Bellator. He's fought for some larger promotions. And he's also on a pretty good streak. He's won 4 of his last 5. But it's a tough one to call when two guys are making their debuts. You never know how they're going to, you know, respond to the pressure. Your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, exact same thoughts. Similar reasoning this time. I was just looking at the UFC. Have you looked at the UFC website for this card?
Uh-huh.
Bro, neither of these guys have photos.
No photos on the UFC website?
Yeah, it's just Chris Daukaus, Parker Porter, just two silhouettes.
Silhouettes? Everyone else
has a photo. Yeah. I'll show you.
Let's see. Oh, man.
Yeah, they can't see us right now. If you go to
they don't
UFC's
have a photo
website,
of these guys?
No, they have no picture.
Well, maybe, I guess they're using
that's
like...
insanity.
They're using like the official UFC photo. So they probably haven't had their...
How hard can that be? They're like they're both gonna be in Vegas at the same time.
Yeah,
like, just
yeah,
line
yeah.
them up against a wall and say like, all right, look hard as fuck and take a photo of them.
Yeah, it is a little bit wacky not to have...
Just unprofessional.
Not to have a photo. Like, anyway.
Can you imagine like you're watching NFL, NBA... They're doing the pregame lineups.
Oh yeah, where they're like, where it's
they
like,
just called
you know,
up a
Phillip
guy from
Rivers,
the
quarterback.
Yeah, Phillip Rivers.
It's
maybe
a guy with no photo.
They just called up a guy from the G League or something.
It's a silhouette that comes
silhouette.
Up.
Silhouette. You just hear like a voice in the background, just saying like, Kyle Watno, Chapman University.
Right. Yep. Well, all right. Are you gonna take? What was your pick here? Do you even make a
I'm
pick?
I'm not picking anyone until okay. I have a photo on the website.
All
this
right,
fight is
enough.
Unofficial to me.
Fair enough.
Don't bet on it.
That takes us into our next fight, which is another strawweight clash between Ashley Yoder, who is a +120 underdog. She's taking on Lavinia Souza at -150. I'm taking Souza here, and honestly, relatively comfortably. Yoder's got a 7-5 record, and she's 2-4 in the UFC. Souza's coming off of an upset loss to Brianna Vianburen, which was a frustrating one to watch, but I think she's in a good spot here to bounce back, get a win, and improve on her pretty solid record, which is 13-2. Your thoughts on this one, Mark?
I'm just wondering, like, the straw weight. Like, why did they name it a straw weight? I feel like that's insulting. Dead serious.
Why?
Like, a straw.
Like, yeah, there's also featherweight. Is that insulting? Yeah,
absolutely. Like, and if we ever talk about a featherweight fight, I'll bring it up. Trust me. With a straw, like no kind of straw, plastic straw, paper straw.
They're all very light.
Hay straw, easily breakable. It's like the last thing you want to name a UFC fight after.
Well,
like, do you know what's the weight limit for that, anyways?
For straw weight?
Yeah.
They're 115.
How do you think?
115.
How do you think I would do in that?
I'm fighting at 115.
I'm 185. I'm 5'10", 185. I fought in women's strawweight. What happens?
5'10", 185. I think you have the power edge. I'll give that to you. You probably wouldn't land nearly as often as they would. They'd have the speed advantage by far.
I agree.
Okay. But I think where that fight would really change would be if they took you down to the ground, because you're going to have no idea what you're doing down there. You're going to get your arm pulled off your body, and that will be your first, you know, UFC fight, and that won't be a good look, right?
Actually, you're not right.
What am I? How am
I've
I
actually
right?
had a UFC fight.
You've had a UFC fight?
Yeah. You didn't hear about this?
No.
About the time I fought Marvin Vettori.
Marvin Vettori?
Yeah. The Italian.
Yeah,
what's
the Italian
Dream.
Yeah,
this
no,
is a while ago.
He's a pretty solid prospect
yeah,
right now.
I know.
You're claiming to have fought Marvin yeah, Vettori.
Before the clout. It was, what was the date? Let me date this. It was July, what year is it? 2018?
Okay.
No, July 2017.
Was he in the UFC at this point?
Yeah, he was in the UFC, but he was way smaller. So he's from Southern California. He's from Orange County.
Yeah, yeah. Where you reside.
Where I reside, mm-hmm. where I was born and raised,
right.
where we both attended university.
Right.
And so a mutual friend of mine is really good friends with him. I don't know how.
With Marvin.
Yeah, with Marvin Vettori.
Okay.
And he lives in Huntington Beach.
Okay.
And so I was out in Costa Mesa, which is like right next to Huntington, and I ran into them.
When you say you're out, like you were out?
Like we were out drinking.
Okay.
I don't know what he was doing, but...
probably drinking.
We were at the same spot. I don't know if UFC fighters drink or whatever.
Okay.
But...
You were at a bar? Like a bar somewhere?
It was like a trashy... It was more like a club, which I hate. I don't really like that environment, especially in Costa Mesa.
But Marvin does.
Yeah. We don't need to digress, but they were there. So we met up with them.
Yeah.
And it was like 1 or 2 in the morning. We were like walking around through like a back alley, and I was pretty drunk. And at some point... I challenged him to a fight. Not that I was going to win.
Because you knew he was a UFC fighter.
Yeah, no, it had been explained to me that he was a fighter.
Okay.
And so I didn't bet that I was going to win. I was like, I bet I could last like 2 or 3 minutes or like a round or something
like
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. And how'd it go?
It go well at all. Dude, he just bum rushed me, right? Like bull rushed me, whatever it was. Bum rush. That sounds
good. Did he hit you? Did he punch you?
No, he just, so we started, right? I remember this so clearly.
Yeah.
Even though I was like super hammered.
Yeah,
I don't remember how it started fighting. I just remember looking him square in the face.
Uh-huh.
And we're like around a similar weight. I think he fights. He's like 185.
Yeah, you probably are.
Yeah. And he's taller though. He's like 6'1" or something like that. I remember that. And I was just looking at this guy tatted up like.
Yeah, he's scary.
He's actually
scary
a super nice guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, just rushed me, picked me up, slammed me on the pavement.
Yeah.
This is in a back alley in like Huntington Beach. So no, he didn't strike me, but I lost the fight in like maybe less than 10 seconds.
Did he like armbar you or something? Did he like submit you somehow, or did he just stayed on top of you and that was it?
I don't really remember. That part was kind of a blur. I just remember getting lifted and thrown on the ground and it was asphalt.
And you were like, all right.
I think, I just immediately tapped out.
Fair enough.
I know my limits.
So does that mean you're taking Ashley Yoda or Sousa?
All that being said, I'm just saying, if I lasted 10 seconds with a 6 foot 185 fighter,
and I
step in there with fighters that are 115,
right?
I think I don't think I win.
Yeah. Again, I honestly think it comes down to whether they could get you down. Exactly.
I think they could though, because they're shorter, so they're lower to the ground.
Yeah.
They get the legs.
There's all sorts of techniques they'd use on you that you'd have no idea how to defend, even to get you to the ground. Not even on the ground.
Defending UFC is really hard.
Right. So yeah.
I'm gonna take after all that, I'm taking Vittori. No, I'm gonna take Sousa. I like the Brazilians. I think Brazilians, when the line's this close,
just take the
Brazilian.
I don't blame you.
That's what I've learned. If they're Russian or Brazilian, take them.
Yeah. Yep. Which is a good percentage of the UFC. But yeah, I agree with you there. And that'll take us into our headliner for the prelim portion of the card. That's a fight between Jim Miller and Yink Pichel. This is a lightweight bout between two guys who have been around the game for a long time. That being said, Jim Miller's got the edge and experience. That's why I'm siding with him in this one. He's had 46 professional fights, which is a lot, compared to Pichel's 14. So I just see him, he's been under the bright lights before. I just see him getting the W here based on experience, probably by decision. Your thoughts?
Jim Miller, it's just the most average name.
Yeah, it sounds like a guy who'd like fix your computer or something. It doesn't really sound like a UFC fighter.
Yeah, he's like a mailman or something.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with the experience play. I mean, at the time of recording this, there's actually no line for this fight.
I know.
So if you get this right, that's some serious clout.
Yeah, that there's no outside influence. The line can't impact our pick here because there's literally no line for it. So this is purely based on these guys and their records. So
this one, you're really putting all your money on what Kyle thinks. I don't know if you're willing to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see how we do. We'll be sure to visit next week how we did with this week's picks.
Yeah, well, if I learned anything from our sponsors, we've got some great lines.
Speaking of our sponsors.
Oh, God, you're going to do it to them again? With the music?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
With the background music.
I can't tell if I like this or not.
For the ad read for our premium sponsor, mybookie.ag. Who was desperate enough to get some wagers in on the Marbula 1 marble races?
Marbula 1?
Marbula 1, like Formula 1.
What?
We've been without sports for so long, I know I was, but this week we're in for a treat with three of the four major sports back in action. MLB, NBA, and NHL have all resumed play. With no fans in the stands, we're just trying to take advantage of some of those early lines with mybookie.ag. Plus, mybookie just brought back the deposit match bonus, so you can grab yourself some extra cash to build up on that bankroll. And the best part is when you roll with mybookie, it's simple. You bet, you win, they pay. There's a reason I tell people to visit MyBookie, and it's just because it's the only online sportsbook that asks the question you and your friends actually want to put money on. Are Giannis's Bucks a lock to represent the East in the finals? Who's going to average more points, LeBron or Kawhi? Debating your buds is cool and all, but I'd rather throw down some cash and see who's right. But truth be told, I'll bet on anything. That's why I'm pumped the MLB and NHL are back in action too. Lines, prop bets, futures, MyBookie's got them all. Trust me, this is the only place you want to be putting money down this season. Join today and MyBookie will match your first deposit dollar for dollar up to $1,000. Just enter the promo code SGP when signing up. Remember, at MyBookie, the terms are simple. You bet, you win, they pay. Boy, oh boy, wasn't it nice to see the guys back out on the court over the weekend?
I guess.
We are all excited to see what week 3 of the basketball restart has in store for all of us. If that isn't enough excitement for you, DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is offering you a shot at a share of millions of dollars every day this week. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy basketball is easy to play. Just pick 8 players, stay under the salary cap, and pile up points for three-pointers, rebounds, assists, and more. There's no better way to put your basketball knowledge to the test than to compete for a share of millions of dollars. With millions of dollars up for grabs this week, there's no better place to have skin in the game than with DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code SGP to get a shot at millions of dollars in prizes every day this week. That's promo code SGP to get a shot at millions of dollars in prizes every day this week. Only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Ever thought of starting your own sportsbook but don't know how? Ace Per Head is here to help you start your own sportsbook. They'll provide you with an all-inclusive professional betting site with all of the lines updated to the second and wagers graded immediately. They have top-notch customer support going 24/7 and some of the sharpest lines in the industry. Plus, Ace Per Head offers live betting and an amazing mobile experience. Get started today, and Ace is offering up to 6 weeks free. Just go to aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP. And just like that, we're back, Mark. Were you checking your email or something while I was doing my ad read?
I had to distract myself from that music. I was going insane.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. Well, time to get excited because we're jumping to the main card, UFC 252, with some big names on it.
Huge names.
Sugar Sean O'Malley, DC, Stipe Miocic.
John Dodson.
John Dodson.
Everyone's like, who the hell is that?
I like it. Speaking of John Dodson, he is on the first fight of the main card. John the Magician Dodson coming in at plus 155. He takes on Merab the Machine. Oh, man. Dvaj
Valishvili.
Valishvili. At minus 185. This is a bantamweight fight. I'll let you start this one, Mark, for a change. You start us off. What are your thoughts on this fight?
I'm taking the machine. I am the machine.
You're taking Dodson?
No, Dodson's the magician.
Oh, you're right.
Merab's the machine. I'm taking Dvalishvili. I'm just trying to avoid saying that name.
Got it.
Butcher it like an
appreciate
American.
Appreciate the honesty.
No, actually, in all seriousness about this fight, I want to get real serious about the lowest fight on the card.
Right.
No, Dodson, 5'3". All right.
5'3".
He's 5'3".
Man, he could be on the bottom of your shoe right now.
Yeah, he's literally like a mosquito. He's just buzzing around. He's exactly what you'd expect from a 5'3 fighter. He's real quick, great stamina. The thing is that Dvalishvili, he's got that too. He can match that. So And he's a much better wrestler. This guy's a very underrated wrestler. So I think he's going to wear Dodson down by pinning him in. Yeah, I think he's going to be able to match the intensity that Dodson likes to bring to his fights anyway. So I'm going to take Dvalishvili.
Okay. I'm going to agree with you on that pick.
Love it.
Slightly different reasons, but basically Dodson moved up from flyweight. You just called him a mosquito. He literally came from a class called flyweight.
I had no idea.
Yeah. He moved up from flyweight, and he's gone 4-4 since that jump up. Dvalishvili is on a four-fight winning streak. And I kind of see this as a matchup, a classic MMA matchup between a younger guy to get a win and move up in the rankings against an older guy who's been around for a little bit longer. So we're both going to side with the machine at minus 185 for the first fight on the main card of UFC 252. That takes us to a really, really fun one. Magomed Ankalaev at minus 300 takes on Ion the Hulk Kutelaba at plus 240. This is a light heavyweight rematch. Have you had a chance to watch the first fight between these two?
Ridiculous.
You've seen it?
And ridiculous, and I mean, the worst way possible.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
That was maybe the worst. We give the context for people watching with that. There was a series of head kicks that were all blocked after they reviewed it.
Yes.
From Ankalaev on Kutelaba.
Right.
And Kutelaba was like, he was completely fine.
Yep.
And I think he was like wobbling himself to try and bait.
Exactly.
Trying to bait him to come in.
He was like playing possum, basically.
And the ref just fucking stopped
him. Yes. Like
he was shocked. Yeah, it was insane.
Yeah, Kutelaba was trying to bait in Ankalaev by pretending to be hurt. The referee thought he was actually hurt. And we're talking 38 seconds into the fight. We're talking right away.
Can you imagine?
Unbelievable.
Your game plan's like, hey, we're gonna take some hits. Bait him in. All right, let him come at you.
Imagine a fight going through a whole fight camp.
Oh my god!
Preparing for this, cutting weight, doing all this, and then
in the plan's going perfectly.
Yes, it was.
Like,
it really
that's
was.
Why you lost.
Yeah, Kutelaba. Oh my god. He is super exciting. In the first round of fights, he comes out absolutely you know, guns blazing.
Stamina's not great, though.
Exactly. That's the issue that
he lands a lot of strikes, though.
Yeah.
He's over five significant strikes per minute.
He hits hard. Insane. He's jacked, and he comes out flying. So look for a really exciting first round in this fight, just like it was in the last one until it unfortunately got stopped. I'm going to side with Ankalaev here, mainly for the reason that you pointed out, which is the stamina. The gas tank, I think, in Kutalaba is going to run out. And Ankalaev, if he's smart about this fight, he'll keep it at a distance. He'll keep his distance with kicks. He'll, you know, get through the first round where Kutalaba is the biggest threat. And then after he survives that, I see Kutalaba running out of gas and giving Ankalaev the win. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Ankalaev, I mean, we didn't talk that much. We were mostly shit talking the ref, but Ankalaev's a textbook fighter. He's good.
He's really good.
He's real precise. He's a good striker. I think he's going to win.
Definitely. All right. Both siding with Ankalaev for that second fight. That takes us to some heavyweights. Junior Dos Santos, a very important and decorated name in the heavyweight division. Plus 120, taking on Jarzinho Rozenstruik, who is at minus 150. I'll start this one off. I like Rozenstruik here. I was high on him, obviously not going into the Ngannou fight, because how can you be high on anyone going against Ngannou unless they're a wrestler? He got touched by the hand of death his last fight against Ngannou, like everyone else, pretty much everyone else does. And I'm not gonna hold that against him too much. I think, you know, fair enough. You get knocked out by Ngannou, that's just part of being in the heavyweight division and moving the rankings at this point.
It's probably in the contract.
So I'm gonna take Rozenstruik. He was undefeated prior to that loss. I think he's the real deal. I see him as kind of the number four ranked heavyweight behind DC, Stipe, and Ngannou. So I'm gonna take him to beat anyone who's not one of those four. And so I'm gonna take him here at minus 150.
All right, I'm going to go against you here.
You're going to take Junior Dos Santos?
Yeah, mostly for showmanship. Just looking at this card, like I feel
showmanship.
Like there's just not that many there's not that many underdogs that I want to go with here.
Yeah.
I feel like this one's close enough. The thing about Junior Dos Santos is that he's a really good counterpuncher.
Yeah.
And so I feel like he's good at drawing his opponents in.
You think Jorginho
from his side-to-side movement.
He's going to rush in and
yeah,
get
and
caught.
The thing about Rozenstruik, Biggie Boy as they call him.
Yeah, Biggie Boy.
Yeah, I think the thing about him is he's exactly what you'd expect from like a massive fat guy. He's relatively slow, and he just comes at you with like no more than two punches at a time.
Yeah.
When they land, I mean, it's like getting a refrigerator dropped on your head.
For sure.
But I think JDS is going to be able to counter that, and I think it'll put him on the offensive. And I think that's ultimately going to win the fight.
Underdog
pick. So I'm going to take an underdog pick.
Sit. Sit. Underdog pick. From Mark Megatron Glass. That takes us to the co-main event. Already, the co-main event, and this might be the one I'm looking forward to the most, honestly, on this entire card. Sugar Sean O'Malley, the next big thing in the UFC, comes in as a minus 310 favorite. He's taken on no slouch in Marlon Chito Vera at plus 250. This is a bantamweight fight. I'll let you start this one off.
I'm definitely going with O'Malley.
Yeah.
You'd have to be a fool not to. He's actually, I was looking at his Instagram.
Mm-hmm. He's great on social media. Great follow.
He's been saying he's going to Marlon Chito Vera.
Yeah.
So he's been saying, I'm going to Delito the Cheeto, which is hilarious. O'Malley is an absolute character, too.
Yeah,
he's
he
like,
is.
He's like the SoundCloud rapper of UFC fighters.
I like that. The hair.
He's the reason people are scared of clowns. Like, yeah, he's got the clown afro,
yep.
Face tats.
Yep.
He looks ridiculous.
He does.
But he can fight.
He looks like if you were to play like the UFC video game, you'd make a character that looks ridiculous. You know?
Yes, that's a great call.
Or like when you make like you play like Madden or something, you always make a guy who looks like a freak.
You're like, I gotta win the Super Bowl so I can unlock the rainbow afro.
Exactly. Exactly. He looks like a video game generated like character, but he's a real person and he's a real threat in the UFC.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious.
He's good. And he's particularly tall and long for this division.
Totally.
5'11" with like a 70 something inch reach.
Yep,
I think that'll be huge.
Yep,
especially against Vera. Sorry, yeah. I keep cutting you off.
No, you're good. You're good. Go ahead. Yeah.
This is my fight.
That's fine. Go ahead. I'll let you roll.
It's just real quickly against Vera, who's a fighter that likes to keep his distance.
Yep.
And use kicks.
Yep.
I think O'Malley's extra length on this is going to be a big difference, and he's just a better fighter.
Yeah, I think O'Malley. I think it's no secret that he's probably the next big cash cow of the UFC. They see him as that very marketable guy who it could be the next Conor McGregor-esque type of character in the UFC.
With tattoos on his face.
With tattoos on his face. And because of that, I think the UFC should probably and are probably being smart about who they're putting him up against. Chito Vera, to be honest, is a decent threat and a decent step up, but I still think that they believe he can win this fight. The bookies believe he can win this fight. I believe he can win this fight, and it could be another highlight reel finish because he's been on a tear recently. So we're both going to side with Sugar Sean O'Malley. Going to be super interesting. Going to be super exciting.
Not really. O'Malley's going to beat his ass.
You could, yeah. You could take the prop first round knockout O'Malley. He's coming off of two in a row.
That'd make it exciting. First round knockouts.
Yep. All right. That'll take us into the main event of the evening. Stipe Miocic and Daniel Cormier. They're at a pick'em right now over at mybookie.ag, where we get the best lines in the business. They're at minus 115 each. This is a heavyweight trilogy title fight. It doesn't get much bigger in the UFC than this. That's why we decided episode one, we should do UFC 252. These are two guys, huge names in the world of combat sports, and it's going to be an awesome one. That being said, also a very difficult one to call. A trilogy fight at any point is a difficult one to call, especially when one guy has won once, the other guy has won the other one. So to start things off, I see Miocic as my pick here. I see him having the game plan to do kind of what won him the last fight, which is take it into the later rounds, let DC get a little bit tired, a little bit slow down a little bit, keep good distance, and then obviously what was clear in their last fight is that you can hurt DC to the body. And you can hurt him there bad, right?
It looks real satisfying to actually punch that man
it
in the
does,
stomach.
It does, right? It's just like it's
like doing a cannonball into yeah. a pool.
It's like those things in people have in lakes when you jump onto like a huge blow-up
yeah,
thing and
it launches
people.
The kid, yeah.
It looks like throwing something onto that. The body shots hurt him last time. Miocic figured it out. Miocic changed his game plan between rounds. And honestly, because DC came up from light heavyweight, he's just a little bit shorter. Yes, he's strong. Yes, he's hit hard. Yes, he knocked Miocic out the first fight, and that could happen again. It could happen, but I see Miocic as more of a true heavyweight and a true well-rounded heavyweight. There's nowhere this guy's bad. There's nowhere.
DC also, like in the first fight, he illegally blinded Miocic.
Yeah,
if
he
recall,
did.
You recall a couple of really...
bad eye pokes.
Yeah, dirty eye pokes. Actually, Miocic had to have surgery on those after, and yeah. I think it definitely affected him, especially like the last one that happened. Like you could tell.
Dude,
and
that's when
DC really took over. Not to take anything away from him because he's a great fighter.
Yeah.
But like you said, and then in the second fight when they came back and he wasn't poking him in the eye
yeah.
every 30 seconds, he definitely clearly faded in the fourth round. Stipe took over. And
right.
I feel like that's part of it being like having to come up a weight class.
Yeah.
Takes a huge toll on your stamina and also the age of Cormier.
Right. This is his retirement fight, by the way, if you weren't aware. He's going to retire after this fight. So he is going to throw everything he has left at this fight, but I still see Stipe with, you know, fights ahead defending the belt after he retains his championship in this trilogy fight. DC is a great guy, though. Got to work with him a couple times.
Really? What's that like?
It was great. He was honestly super cool. I got to work with him over when I worked at Conan back in the day for Conan O'Brien's talk show. And we had DC on as a guest actually before his first fight with Stipe, which is back in 2018. And he came on the show to talk about, there was this thing called the Conan O'Brien curse, which basically whenever a UFC fighter went on Conan's show, they would basically lose their next fight
yeah,
that they were promoting.
McGregor went on in a bunch.
Yep. McGregor went on before he lost to Nate Diaz. Yep. Nate Diaz went on before he lost the rematch to McGregor. There were some other Ronda lost one after going on. So there were some good examples there. And basically, Daniel broke the Conan O'Brien curse.
You guys
when
on
he
a
first on.
Name basis?
Yeah.
You
Daniel,
and Daniel?
Daniel. I'm sure he remembers me.
Hanging out backstage?
I brought him some popcorn backstage. But yeah, he broke the curse and then came back on the show to celebrate whatever. He's a great guy. I think he's going to lose this fight.
Nice guy, though.
And that's it. That's the end of the main event. We've gone through all the fights listed on the card right now.
That was quick. How many people do you think stuck around? Over under seven.
I'll take the over. 1,000.
We take the over.
1,000. But before we go, we got to do the SGP Network staple, which is our lock, dog, and parlay. We've also added a little bit of fun, okay? A little bit of fun to this. We're going to do a what's called a dollar store parlay over here at About That Action. And that is where we're going to take a dollar, we're going to throw together a ridiculous parlay based on this fight card, and we're going to get crazy plus odds and try to see what we can convert a dollar into. And we'll revisit next week.
It's basically like taking a dollar and you either set it on fire or it turns into like 50 bucks.
Exactly. So let's have some fun with it. Let's start off with Mark's lock.
I'll give you my lock. I'm going with Sugar Sean O'Malley for the lock. Not the most exciting because obviously he's like minus 300 or something, but you just can't bet against this guy.
Yeah, I don't
take the easy pick,
though. I don't blame that pick at all. That's a good pick. My lock is going to be Rozenstruik. He's, like I mentioned, he was undefeated before losing to Ngannou. I still think he's the number four guy in the division. I'm pretty confident in that pick, so he will be my lock. Your dog?
Dog, I'm going with Dos Santos.
Yeah.
He's like the only underdog in this that I actually think like I would realistically put money on.
Yeah.
Like the other ones, I just don't see it.
Okay. My underdog is going to be on the prelim portion of the card, Felice Herrig, a big one, plus 245. In her fight against Verna Jandiroba. That is my underdog.
Oh, you put the undercard on yours.
Yeah, I did.
I only went main card.
It was hard to find good underdogs on the main card, so I jumped down to the undercard. But I do respect your JDS pick.
I'm not a degenerate. I'm not going to bet in the undercard.
Well, welcome to the Sports Gambling Podcast Network.
Hey, no offense to any
welcome
listeners.
Welcome to the show, baby.
No offense to any listeners
welcome
out there that
show.
Are betting the under
welcome
undercard.
To the show.
But you're weird, and I don't want to be your friend.
Go ahead and give us your parlay.
Yeah, so my parlay, which only consists of the main card, like okay. All regular people should. Mm. I put Devalishvili, Ankalaev, O'Malley, JDS, Miocic. That's plus,
all of those?
All those, plus 1,000.
Wow.
Plus not bad.
Plus 1,013, I see you listed it. Wow. Okay, that's pretty good. Is that your dollar store parlay or that's a
no? That's my
that's
parlay,
your regular
parlay.
Parlay.
Oh, you just wait until you see my other.
All
one.
All right. For my parlay that I'm gonna play, I'm gonna take Rozenstruik, I'm gonna take O'Malley, and I'm gonna take Burns.
That's it. Just three.
Three fight parlay +205.
Soft.
+205. That's good money.
That's sensible.
It's a sensible parlay. But for an unsensible parlay, let's hear your dollar store pick.
Dollar store pick. $1 down.
Yep.
Miocic.
Mm-hmm.
Dos Santos. O'Malley.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing crazy there.
No.
Kutalaba.
That's a little crazy.
Dodson.
That's extra crazy.
You put $1 in, you win 45 back. Plus 4,598 odds.
Okay.
Yep. It's not that far-fetched. It's just Dodson.
No, it's not.
It's honestly just Dodson throwing it off. He's definitely going to lose.
Dodson and Kutalaba are And Dos Santos. I can break down
everyone.
He got
three unders there. Okay. Two or three underdogs.
Yeah. No, I respect the crazy, pick.
Yeah.
That's what the Dodson's dollar store gonna, parlay is all about. So I respect
it's
it.
It's like I said, you're either going to win about 50 bucks or you're going to set your dollar on fire.
Right. For my dollar store parlay, a little bit smaller than yours, like the leather one, but I'm taking Miocic, Vashlishvili, Souza, Burns, O'Malley, Ankalaev. How many is that? That's six fights?
You dropped into the undercard again.
Six fights. I did drop into the undercard again.
I don't know if I'm okay with this.
Plus 1,000 odds on that dollar store parlay. I could turn that into a tenner really quick. $10 bill from that parlay. We'll see.
That'd be insane. Imagine if you actually... You should do it.
I am going to do it. We'll check in next week and see how it went. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe when listeners tune in next week, we'll be 100 bucks richer.
I hope so, for your sake.
I hope so as well. Tune in next week. We will be breaking down some more sports action. We will be debuting a new segment. Are you taking your shirt off right now?
Yeah, it's hot in here.
Okay. About that action on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, feel free to give a visit to sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Please follow us on Twitter at SGP Network. You can follow me on Instagram at Kyle Watnall, KyleWhatnall. You cannot follow Mark. He is not on social media. We look forward to seeing you next week. Any last words from Mark?
Sports are tight. Sports are awesome. Can't wait to keep talking about them. See you guys later.
Thank you.